And joining us every Friday from San Francisco, California, will be Brother Omari French. Sit back, take another sip of that coffee, open up your Bible, and join us as we reflect upon the precious book.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. My name is Rick Popejoy, and I have the distinct privilege and the wonderful pleasure of serving as your host today as we have arrived on this, this beautiful day that God has created and blessed for our benefit. We have a study hall today and every weekday from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., and so we are certainly pleased for your presence today with us in this study hall. But I do want to remind you that this is a study hall for the brave, for the spiritual-minded Bible student. Now, what we mean by that is that we make absolutely no apologies for anything that God said in His Word or the manner in which He said it. The choice of words that God chose to utilize belong to Him, and it is presumptuous on our part to impose upon the will of God. We shall never do that. At least that is our intent. And if we ever do, we pray that our fellow Bible students will rebuke us, and if need be, to rebuke us sharply for that infraction upon the very character and nature of God. As I mentioned earlier, I'm your host, Rick Popejoy, and I pray that you are prepared and poised to study, to meditate, that's right, to reflect upon the precious book divine. And what a privilege it is for us to be here and to reflect upon the precious book divine. The riches of the truths of God's Word are ever bountiful and before us. The problem is, and this is a serious problem within our society, very few individuals today seem to realize the beauty of God's Word. So it is our intent as we study to be able to reflect upon the Word of God. And today we're actually going to reflect upon the fact that we are reflectors of God's Word. God's Word is a light and a lamp that is designed to guide and direct us. But we must be directed. We must be directable, we might say. And so as such, we are grateful that we can be with you today in this wonderful study. Now, just a few things before we get started. I see that we have several of our fellow Bible students that are already joining us, and we're grateful that you have joined us. We always appreciate your wonderful comments, whether that's in the GospelRadioNetwork.org discussion window, whether that's the Facebook Live, or if you're listening to us via WJHF 106.9. You're welcome to give us a call and to speak to us live, to ask any Bible question related to the topic of the day. Now, tomorrow's Open Mic Friday. That means open mic. That means you get to determine the direction of the program. Generally, that happens in one or two different ways. It happens by your direct questions. Some of them that are in the chat window, I will delay until Friday. Some of them, it's based upon your comments during the week. Sometimes people send me emails, and by the way, just so that you know, you can send me an email with a question or a comment about Open Mic Friday by just sending it to rickpopejoy@gmail.com. rickpopejoy@gmail.com. You can send me a private message in the Facebook Messenger if you so desire. But you can call us at 405-428-2440. Well, again, we're thankful that you've come to the program today, and we want to encourage you that if you're ever in the Nesbitt, Mississippi area, that you come out and join us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ, 685 Nesbitt Road, here in Nesbitt, Mississippi. We meet every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Bible study, 10 a.m., 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and we meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Well, let's see here. I do want to make sure that I do have the advertisement right here in my hands for the Standing in the Gap lectures. There we go. I'll put it up there in front of my mug. And it is Come Now, Let Us Reason, the theme, the 22nd annual Standing in the Gap. That's January the 27th through the 31st, right here at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. And I believe that we are covering one of the most needed global subjects for modern man, and that is 13 powerful lessons, 9 godly speakers on the subject matter of reasoning properly. And we have some we have a wonderful lineup for you in relationship to the series of lessons. I want to go ahead and get started, maybe just announcing some of the topics. Wednesday night we're going to have Omari French. Omari is actually starting and ending the lectureship this year with regards to the theme, and he's going to be speaking on Come Now, Let Us Reason Together. He's going to give us an aspect of the entirety of the reason why we're having this lectureship on this topic in the first place. And then he's going to follow that up at the very end with the idea of reasoning from the Master. That is the Master, Jesus, right? Jesus is going to tell us how to reason properly. And so that'll give you at least some hint in regards to that. Brother Omari French is a good friend and fellow co-worker, gospel preacher, in I don't know of any other way to describe the city of San Francisco other than Sin City, and he's right there in the heart of all of the difficulty that goes on, and he is a beacon of light, and we will certainly appreciate and value his good standing. All right, so that will get us started at least for today. I can't think of any other announcements. I do want you to continue to remember Brother Jerry Brewer, even though he's been moved out of the hospital to a facility. He is still in need of our prayers, and his family as well. Please pray for the nation's capital and the things that are happening there, and we want to keep those individuals who lost their lives, their families, those all of those items in our prayers. We want to keep our nation in our prayers, and so let's certainly do that. All right, let's see here. Can't think of anything else, so after our prayer, we'll have our song. Remember, we're walking on heaven's road. And I tell you what, before we get there, I missed something this morning. I see that Sister Jensen has joined us from the wonderful state of Washington, and we're so pleased to have her as a regular Bible student. Brother Furness from Central Oklahoma is with us. Miss Mona is here with us. She's keeping me in line. Sister Ferris from the wonderful state of Alabama is here with us, and Sister Woodall from the northern woods of Wisconsin has joined us. Let's see, who else is here with us? I'm sure that we have some others here with us. I hope that I did not miss anybody. I see that Sister Ferris has left. I appreciate that, Sister Ferris, on that open mic suggestion. I think that's an excellent topic, dealing with favoritism and things such as that. I'm going to put that down as one of the things that we deal with. If not, that may be our hot topic of the day, and it certainly is a hot topic I was just contacted yesterday. Well, somebody put up a Facebook post in regards to this as well, that the people that were not condemning the riots, of course, everybody was really condemning once it got started, but somebody had posted and said that those that had not come out and said something were, and the way that they were handling this was all about white supremacy. And I see, if you say anything against the riots in Seattle, it's white supremacy. And so I try not to buy into that kind of stuff, because it's simply not true. It's so far from the truth that this has anything to do with that in that concept. And so I think favoritism is an excellent topic for us to address. It is certainly a hot topic. So let's go ahead and have our prayer, and then we will deal with, and then we'll have our song and deal with our lesson today. Pray with me, please. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Thee at this time. We recognize that Thou art a majestic and holy God, that we do not deserve to be within Thy presence. We realize, our Heavenly Father, that Thou art a loving and merciful God, that You sent Your Son Jesus to die so that we would not have to suffer the consequences, eternal consequences of our sin. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that we might all seek to love Thee, to obey Thy gospel, to come within the care of Thy fold. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that we might get the message out of Thy glorious gospel to the entire world. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that not a single person would ever not have access to Thy word. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of the disturbances that are in this world. Satan is a divider. Satan is a destroyer. We realize that he has never created anything, but he seeks to manipulate and destroy that which Thou has created. And unfortunately, while men slept in their responsibilities and their duties, the devil comes in and destroys and kills. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that You would bless us in this endeavor, that we might possess the courage, the boldness, the fortitude to be able to do what is needed to carry Thy word into all the world. The world needs light. It is certainly a place of darkness, and Thy light is the only light that can shine to Thy glory. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that You would be with us in that endeavor. We're mindful of many individuals that are suffering physical difficulty and physical harm. Our good brother Jerry Brewer, out in the Elk City area of Oklahoma, we pray that You be with his family, that You be with Sister Shirlene as she is dealing with the difficulty of many decisions, and that You would be with her and her family. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that You would be with our nation's capital and all areas that are struggling with riots and things such as that. We pray that You would deal with us according to Thy word. We realize, our Heavenly Father, that as a nation, we are not promised existence, but we have been so blessed over the years because we have tried to stick close to Thee, at least from the foundation. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Who's that walking down the road, carrying such a heavy load? Sinner, lay your burden down. You're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said He'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day.
Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
Ain't no people crying there,
ain't no sadness anywhere, ain't no need to shed a tear. You're walking on heaven's road.
And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load.
Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day.
Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Young folks walking hand in hand, singing with the angel band.
Old folks ain't so tired and worn, they're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
Won't you come along
and join me on that heaven's road?
Well, my friends, we have been blessed today, no doubt, with that beautiful song. I do appreciate what Sister Woodall has put in the chat window for us, that Jesus brings peace in a chaotic world. So we need to put on the armor of light. And yes, Romans 13 and verse number 12 talks about that armor of light. And we certainly need that armor to be put on. You know, some of the most simple of statements become the most profound to understand and especially to make application of. And so if we might tie in our lesson to the series of lessons that we are having, we would turn our attention to Romans chapter 13, where Sister Woodall has properly referenced there. And verse number, I'm going to back up in verse number 11. And it talks about in 10 that love is the fulfillment of the law. And it says, and that knowing that the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness or in chambering or in wantonness, not in strife or in envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. My friends, that is a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. The principles that are listed in this passage, and casting off the works of darkness. We cannot do and become what they are in order to fight the fight and the good fight of the faith. We must be what we are, light bearers, and we must be individuals that reflect the light. We are light bearers. We are light reflectors. We are individuals who bring the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ into the world, and so we must always be about. And notice how he describes these things. In order to be a light bearer, in order to put off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, let us walk honestly as in the day. In other words, there's no deceit, there's no guile, there's no type of entrapment in our presentation of the truth of the glorious. I don't want to get you attached and then take you somewhere else. Sometimes that's called in Bible hermeneutics, it's called the biblical hook. That is, a Jehovah's Witness might hook you, or a Mormon might hook you with the Bible. And that is, they get your attention with the Bible, and then they take you somewhere else. They take you to their writings. They take you to the Book of Mormons. They take you somewhere else. Islam will do that. They don't mind using the Bible in order to hook you, to get you to the Quran. We're not like that. We're not trying to get you somewhere else. I'm not trying. I want you to be a New Testament Christian. I want you to believe and to study the Bible. I want to get you to heaven. That's what I tell you is the goal. As opposed, you know, some people, you and I both realize that there are some people you just cannot believe. We know that. We listen. The most popular idiom of today is about a politician's honesty, right? I don't want you to. I don't want to just say certain things in order for somebody to like me. I don't want. I'm not just out gathering friends and gathering likes on Facebook. I don't say things just so as to gather influence. One of the most damaging thing to our pulpits over the years has been this shift. In order to try, well, we want to keep people. We want to influence people. We want to get people in the pews, and so we can't really express what the truth says on subjects. We just got to present it in a way that they'll like it. You know, it's not my job to make you want to like the Word of God. Now, I don't mind presenting the truth from a fundamental, foundational perspective, and then get into the more depths of God's Word. It's not my job to be liked in this world. It is my job to present the truth of the gospel. We do have to understand the difference in the terminology in regards to that. And so let me see if we can tie this in. We're to take the armor of light, which is honesty day in and day out. Entertainment, I like that. But we're not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness. I'm not going to attract you with immorality. There are many, many so-called preachers out there that will preach that everything is okay. And that's what the world wants to hear. It doesn't matter what the world wants to hear. My job is to please God by the presentation of the gospel, by living the gospel and being the light bearers. The world is full of darkness, and by the way, I don't envy those. I am not envious. I want them to be saved. So you have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the armor of light. So in Ephesians chapter 6, here we are, and we're putting on the armor of God and the armor of light, and he tells us what that is, right? Here is what it is. It is having your loins girded about, as he says, verse 14, with the with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and here's the connection now, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The only light that the world will ever be able, the only light there is, to illuminate and is God. That's the only source of light there is. And there is no other light than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Sister Hoskins, good to have y'all here with us today, and I know that y'all are generally here. But if they come for other reasons, the truth will not keep them, she properly says. That's absolutely correct. And Sister Woodall mentions, if we have a constant diet of just one thing, then we're unbalanced. And this has been my point. If everybody else is talking about it, then if I preach, so for example, if everybody is talking about the love of God, and I mention the hate of God, you know, some people don't get that God hates things, that God calls us to hate activities and those who engage in the activity. Now, that hate may be a love less, but it's still the word hate. And so we have to understand our Bibles in regards to this. So here we're tying all of this in. But I did want to make a particular application today in regards to this and the Word of God lived in our lives, being the light of the world. As I mentioned, we are reflectors of the great light. Jesus Christ is the light of this world. And you and I are described as the light of the world. That is, we reflect the light of Jesus Christ in our lives. And so we must continually be about understanding apostolic doctrine. If we don't understand what the Bible says in regards to these things, this is where passages such as 2 Timothy 3, verse 17 is important for us to understand, that the Bible is not just inspired, it is, but it's more than that, it's profitable. And we have lost sight in the profitability of God's Word for us today. So we need to understand that as the Bible is totally reliable, it is also completely profitable. It is profitable unto, what does he say here? Unto all good works. See verse number 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That is, nothing is left out of this. So if we live the Word of God, if we study it, if we live it, if we put it into application in our lives, and we teach only that Word to others, then we are the light of the world. See, we can't be the light of the world while we are promoting the philosophies of men. We cannot be the light of the world while we are perverting the gospel, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. We cannot be the light of the world if we're dealing deceitfully with the Word of God, 2 Corinthians 4, 2, or even 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 4. We cannot be the light of the world if we're only giving lip service, Mark 7, verse 1 through 13. We cannot be the light of the world if we're only giving lip service to the Word of God. We need to constantly ask ourselves, do we believe it? Do we believe it? Now, there's only one way to fully understand whether or not somebody believes the Word of God, and that is if they are willing to do it. Yes, during the hard times. Yes, during the most difficult times. Yes, when it involves hurt and harm and persecution and ridicule to be brought against me, but I do it anyway. That's when you know whether or not a person believes what they say. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you'll notice verse 16, after he says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. But notice what it's profitable for. This is part of the light. And if we're going to bear the light, then we must bear the light with regards to doctrine. You see, it's profitable for doctrine. That is, it's profitable for teaching. The Word of God tells us what to teach, how to teach, and it shows us every aspect of those things that have been revealed for us. There's nothing that God has left unrevealed that is for our benefit. So the Bible is profitable for teaching. God's Word is the supreme source and the final standard of truth. Sanctify them in truth. Thy Word is truth. John 17:17. I don't know why people constantly have this idea that the Bible is some archaic word that does not address the situations that we find ourselves in today. Every time you read it, it's like reading the daily newspaper. You don't need to go to CNN or Fox News to figure out what's going on, or Newsmax or whatever. You don't need to go there. The source of man's difficulties and the daily newspaper is laid out right here in God's Word. And it is profitable. It tells a man how, it tells a man how to be the best man that he could ever be. It directs him to be the best spouse, the best parents. It directs him to be the best employer and employee. It directs the relationship between him and his fellow man, his community, his brethren. It directs him in the best way to be the best civilian and citizen that he can be. It directs him, by the way, how to be the best politician that he can be. And I'm not using politician in a bad light here, but if you want to be a true statesman in politics today, the Bible tells you how to deal with that. So no matter what the relationship is, no matter what you're doing in life, there is a principle in God's Word for that. There's nothing left out of that. Now, this involves study, but the Bible is profitable for teaching. It conveys to us God's wisdom concerning the greatest questions of human existence from an all-knowing perspective and an authoritative perspective. It's not my way and your way and our way and his way and their way. It's the way, you see. The great principles and precepts on practical matters that you and I grapple with every day, the Bible is profitable for teaching that. Now, it may be that as preachers and teachers, we need to do a better job of that. You know, I think that I may go back to the old principle of how I started this program in 2021 and years ago, and that is to divide up the program segments a little bit more, and I may do that before January is over with, and so that we can deal with some specific applicable items along the way as well. But it's not just profitable for teaching doctrine; it's also profitable for reproof. That is, and here's where the rubber really meets the road in our society. A lot of people, they do not like being reproved. This is a correction of sin. This is don't do that. Stop that. This is, that is wrong. This may be the most despised part of God's Word. Forsaking the assembly is a sin. Virtual worship only. And partaking of the Lord's Supper in separate, all of that stuff that's going, that's sinful. That's contrary to God's will. If congregations are doing worship that way, they're, stop that, you see, that hurts people. And they don't want to hear that kind of stuff. Homosexuality is an abomination before God. You don't have the right as a woman to marry a woman or as a man to marry a man. You don't have the right to lie and to cheat and to steal, and you don't have the right to hypocrisy. Stop that. Listen, if you're a member of the church and you're telling people how to live rightfully according to the Bible, but you're not living it, stop that. You see, that hurts. That's the disciplinary nature. Miss Mona mentions properly, neither did our children, but it sure was necessary. That's absolutely right. And as the children of God, we need that. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 shows us what kind of society we're living in today. They call good evil and evil good. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Everything that is good for you and beneficial for you, they say is bad for you, and so forth. And that's the kind of society. But we need the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, that light of the gospel is profitable to convict us of sin. Yes, I have sinned. Yes, I have fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, I need Jesus in my life. Yes, I need his blood to wash away my sins. And listen, it hurts all those denominations out there when we say that baptism is absolutely essential to salvation. Yes, it hurts those denominations out there when we say that there is one true church and that no denomination is a part of that one true church. That hurts. That hurts. But it's the pricking of the gospel upon honest hearts that will cause them to change that direction. So it is important that we understand that it is profitable. The light of God's word is profitable for correction. You see, it exposes darkness. That's what light does. It exposes the deeds of darkness. That's why people in wickedness like to do their deeds in the cover, as we would say, of darkness, so that they might be able to get along with that without people seeing. But let me show you this as well. It's also profitable for correction. Now, correction here, I believe, is different than we normally think of being corrected. And we normally think that is a negative. This is actually a thing that's leading us in the right direction. So we've been taught how to do things, but we've gotten off, so we've been told that's wrong. Don't go in that direction. Stop that. Now then, the word doesn't just point out where we are wrong and leave us there. It directs us in the right way that we should go. It helps restore us. That's what the Bible does. The Bible restores us unto life. And so it tells us how to appropriate God's forgiveness when we have transgressed his will. It tells us how to be reconciled with those that we have wronged. You've wronged a brother on a personal matter. The Bible tells you how to deal with that. False teachers sure lose their sweetness when exposed with scriptural truth. That is true. That honey that drips off their lips turns to poison at that particular time. But the Bible, you see, the light, that guide, that lamp, Psalm 119:105. That lamp that guides our pathway, it tells us how to overcome all of the harmful habits, how to break harmful alliances, how to mend broken family relationships. All of those things are a part of how the Bible corrects us. If I've been treating my wife incorrectly, you know what the Bible says? First of all, it tells me how to be a husband. Secondly, it tells me that if I'm treating my wife wrong, to stop it. And it tells me the consequences of that. But number three, it also shows me how to get back into the right relationship with my wife and to be in the good graces of her once again. And notice this, it doesn't stop there. It's profitable for instruction. Instruction in righteousness. All right? So it tells me what to do. It tells me when I've gone wrong. It shows me the path back. And it shows me how to continue on that path. If I want to stay good, and I want to stay righteous, and I want to stay on the right path, then the Bible tells me how to do that, you see. Once we're back, how do we stay? The Bible tells me how to stay on the right path. But my friends, the Bible is not just a book that you can open. It's not, listen, I can ask right now, I can say, hey Siri, and well, it's not going to work. Hey Siri, well, there she is right there. She's right there. You see that? Hey Siri has come up. She's going to answer all of my questions, and she's going to, without much searching at all, I can just say, hey, and it's there. You can't say, hey God, and he's going to, and open up the Bible, and there you are at the right answer. See, that's too easy. It makes us weak in our disposition, in our character, in our fortitude. You can't just say, hey God, give me the answer to this. No, you have to search. It's as good as treasure. And anything that is worth our benefit is worth our energy and effort. So how we handle the Word of God becomes important. Now, this is what all of this means in regards to this. And I realize that man, if we don't keep on a track here, that we're going to lose our time here. So what does all of this mean in regards to this? When we talk about the light of Matthew chapter 5, and I think it was Sister Woodall that mentioned the passage earlier. I didn't go there because I plan on going there now in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. And I want you to notice that after he talks about those beautiful Beatitudes, when he talks about how to redirect the psyche of man, then he comes in chapter 5 and verses 13 through 16 and talks about the similitude of man. See, we're talking about the similitudes of the Bible, and Jesus right here is talking about the similitudes of man. That is, he's talking about godly men here. Godly men are the salt of the earth. Now, I don't want to deal with the salt principle, but it's very important, and I think one of the most powerful statements there is what happens if the salt has lost its savor? Well, it's good for nothing. What good are godly people in this world if they forget their mission, their goal, their objective? If they go about doing evil that good may abound, and Paul would say, God forbid that any man should say that of us. That's not our MO. But there are people who would see that, and as Christians, they think, well, if I just do this, I can get people there. No, you cannot. And that's what he's talking. If the salt has lost its savor, if it's all about hypocrisy, as Peter was, you talk about favoritism, look at Peter in Galatians chapter 2. He demonstrated great wickedness. Paul rebukes him to his face. Now, I don't want to get into tomorrow's lesson, but that is the salt losing its savor. And what Paul said was, unless you repent, you are good for nothing. And that's an apostle to an apostle now. That's powerful stuff there. But now notice here, here's what I want you to see in verse number 14. Ye godly men who possess the Beatitudes, who have changed their psyche to fit the psyche of God, then he says, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And so notice the illustration here. Here is what the Word of God, when it's lived within our lives in a proper fashion, here's what it does. You see, we're talking about illumination now, aren't we? I'm not talking about spiritual illumination from the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about Calvinism or reverse Calvinism or modern Calvinism. I'm talking about Bible illumination here. And ye are the light of the world. The child of God is designed to illuminate. a Christian's perspective ought to have an effect on others, right? Brother McReynolds, good to have you today, Brother Chris. And he says, the opposite of love is not hate. Now that is, by the way, Chris, I'm going to set that aside just for a second. That's going to go in the box for a later time. That's a whole lesson in and of itself, is knowing what the opposite of things are. The opposite of love is apathy, and how Christians, and that's what we are talking about that. But I want to get to that in dealing with some opposites, and that's very, very important. The only thing for evil to abound is for good men to do nothing. You see, that's where our brother is coming from, and absolutely right. So we must be influential. If I just take in the Word of God, and I do not let the Word of God out. In fact, I'm going to move away from the screen just for a second here to grab a songbook. There is a song in our songbook that properly talks about the influence that we have. And I don't know if you have heard of this song, but it is entitled There Is a Sea, 847 in my songbook here. But there is a sea, and it goes like this. There is a sea which day by day receives the rippling rills, and streams that spring from wells of God or fall from cedared hills. But what it thus receives, it gives with glad, unsparing hand. A stream more wide with deeper tide flows on to lower land. There is a sea which day by day receives a fuller tide, but all its store it keeps, nor gives to shore nor sea beside. Its Jordan stream, now turned to brine, lies heavily molten lead. Its dreadful name doth e'er proclaim that sea is waste and dead. Now that's the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and the Dead Sea. But notice stanza number 3. Which shall it be for you and me, whose God's good gifts obtain? Shall we accept for self alone, or take to give again? He who once was rich indeed laid all his glory down, that by his grace our ransom race should share his wealth and crown. So which sea will we be? The Sea of Galilee that gives the Jordan River, receives from the cedars of Lebanon and the mountains there, and gives to others? Or will we be the Dead Sea that keeps it all to self? You see, are we an illuminator? Are we illuminating the world around us? See, God is light. The truth is light. Jesus is light. The Church of Christ is light. Each individual Christian is a light. And so we must spread the glorious gospel. The eyes of the people around us are watching. What are they seeing? Are they seeing me in my lazy boy? Are they seeing me in a sense of apathy, that lazy boy? Or are they seeing me seeking to do that which will change the world from darkness to light? You see, light serves as a guide and a warning in danger. You're driving down the highway at night, and all of a sudden you see these flashing yellow lights, right? Warning. There's something, maybe a flashing red light. There's warning that takes place. And so it is important that we understand the light, and the light guides, it directs, it warns, it says back off, it says don't get close. That's what the light does for people. And so it is important that we understand that. You know, light performs many tasks. Brother McReynolds says, what is wrong with challenging your brother to step up and to be a man, to brave and do something versus retiring their faith? Absolutely. By the way, not only is there nothing wrong with it, Brother Chris, but it is absolutely essential. It is a shame that we do not accept the great challenges of the Bible. Where would Daniel be if he did not step up to pray as he always prayed? Where would Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be if they did not step up and refuse to bow? Where would Abraham be if he did not step up and leave his family and go into a place that God would call him? Where would Moses be if he didn't go back to Egypt to fetch the children of God and to guide them to the promised land? Where would Joshua be if he did not accept the challenge cross the Jordan and to walk around Jericho? Where would we be if we do not accept the challenges of God? Miss Mona says, that's where the training on Titus comes. That's exactly right. So what we're talking about here is the fact that light illuminates, and that as a Christian, we must have an impact. There must be a presence and influence of Christianity in this world. But number two, I want us to notice also before we close that light influences, right? Let your light so shine before men. Light is designed as a guide, an influence to others. The nemesis, the foe of light, is a shroud. Matthew 5, what does he say there? You don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. Blindness is as well a nemesis to light. Notice with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. We referenced this passage, this section a little bit earlier, but notice this. Talking about Satan, talking about the devil, he says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Light does no good to blind people. You can turn on the light or turn off the light. And I certainly don't mean any disrespect to anyone who is without sight. I have supported, and the congregations that I've worked with supported, wonderful ministries to the blind and to the deaf. That's recognizing what a person is not somehow detrimental. But if you don't see the light, there's no value in it. And Satan has surely blinded the light or the eyes of men today. And so if you put the light, if we take the light, I know we don't have much time, and so I'm trying not to chase too many rabbits here. But if the church building becomes a bushel, that is, if we only preach and teach the Word of God in our church buildings, how will that benefit the world? It didn't say ye are the light of Christians. You're the light of godly people. You're the light of the church building. But listen, the assembly is absolutely essential. But there should be a rallying call within the assembly, a challenge for us to go out into the world and be that light, to influence other people. Don't hide it in a bushel. Don't hide it in... If our houses become bushels, then they destroy the light. That is the influence of the light. Number three, and I'm really running down out of time here, but notice this, there is intention. Ye are the light of the world, so let your light so shine and glorify. Notice the intention. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want men to see my good works, but not so that I am praised. To God be the glory. We are the light of the world, but we are only reflectors. The light did not originate with me. The goodness did not originate with me. It originated. So, in closing with something, Chris reminded me, the challenge of people. I want to challenge every one of our fellow Bible students today. In the terminology that we used to use, I dare you. I dare you to be a city set on a hill as a church. I dare you for the churches in your area to be the light of the world. I dare you to let your light so shine before men. I dare you to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. I dare you to do the will of the Father. It's a challenge that I set before each of us. I wish we had time to be more specific and to deal with the strategies of how to do that. But use your imagination. God gave you an imagination for a reason. You know why? So that you could execute His will in expedient matters. Let's go and let our light so shine before men. God bless and have a wonderful day.
Okay.